This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:18 a.m. in the morning. It's Thursday, the 31st of March. You're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Chuang and Chen Li. In the meantime, we're turning our attention to our current COVID-19 situation and this whole transition to endemic that begins tomorrow. So based on previous announcements, beginning April the 1st, we're going to start observing one standard operating procedure, one SOP, alongside 9 guidelines, and the country's borders will be fully opened with minimal hassle.
And Prime Minister Dato Sri Ismail Sabri noted that this was a temporary phase before moving to the actual endemic phase, as that announcement can only be made by the World Health Organization. However, on the same day that Malaysians get to enjoy lifting of restrictions, around 2 million of COVID-19 vaccine recipients could lose their fully vaccinated status tomorrow. And this is because in order to be considered fully vaccinated, Sinovac recipients above 18-year-old and senior citizens above 60 who previously received any vaccine will have to get a booster shot by before April 1st, actually. So is Malaysia ready to take a tonal shift in our COVID-19 response?
So there have been a lot of news coming out overnight. The Health Minister, Khairi Jalaluddin, made some announcements about how even if you lose your fully vaccinated status, certain groups will still be able to go to public outlets. So we're going to try and just get a clear understanding of everything. We have on the line with us Associate Professor Dr. Farhan Rusli, Public Health Medicine Specialist and Director of the Selangor Task Force for COVID-19 Operations. Dr. Farhan, good morning. Always good to have you. Now, the last time we spoke to you on The Morning Run, you mentioned that the healthcare system isn't ready for the reopening of borders. I don't know, some time has passed since then. Have the gaps been addressed?
Well, I think the gaps have just been widened even further. I think with the latest recent news, I think what we can actually see is that there are a lot of things still yet to be addressed. However, I think it's important to note that policy changes, especially last-minute policy changes, actually does not give a clear indication on the basis of how policy was actually derived in the first place. So what I mean by this is, if you look at how the fully vaccinated status, how 2 million plus will lose their status, but they are allowed to still go into public spaces, they're still allowed to go to shopping malls and also prayers and congregational places. So people will start questioning if the boosters were actually even necessary to begin with. So I think this is what I mean by there are still a lot of gaps that still need to be addressed, especially when we want to give clear directions and policy to the people to understand.
And now there are still unanswered questions over the single set of SOPs with 9 guidelines. It goes live tomorrow, in fact.
Yeah, so I think a lot of that, that one has been announced, I think, by the defense minister, where he said he wanted to refocus that you have one SOPs and 9 guidelines. I think a lot of people still are not yet really clear on what are the 9 guidelines actually are. I know it's been published, but I think this highlights the need for us to actually go down to the ground and actually promote the issues that we're trying to make people. And I think this is the big step. Yeah, this is the big step that people need to do. They have to be educated about what's happening, what we are going to be progressing to.
Okay, so around 2 million Sinovac vaccine recipients will lose their fully vaccinated status tomorrow as they didn't take their booster jab. But why is it so? Why are they not taking the booster jab? Is it because of poor communication or is it because of vaccine hesitancy?
Well, I think in the first place, what's important to note is if all these people actually took the first and second dose. So why do I say this? It's because the fiasco that happened last year when we found that there was a lot of, surplus doctors who actually issued vaccination certificates, which were not, verified. So they just clicked on my sejahtera as though these people actually took the vaccines. You would actually be worried to know whether the first and second doses were actually even given to these patients. Now, you have to also look at the data where it shows that Terengganu, Kelantan, places in the East Coast and also some of the northern states are still one of the lowest rates of uptake of booster doses. I think this is very worrying. So what I mean to say is that these people were also hesitant in the first and second. They are still hesitant now for the booster doses. And this shows that people are still not yet fully educated or empowered to understand that the vaccines are meant for their protection. And I think this is something which is very critical that addresses a bigger issue. It means that our health policy and also our health promotion and our public health approach, there is still big gaps that we still need to address. And we still have not addressed it even until today. That's why we still have a lot of vaccine hesitancy, especially when it comes to booster doses.
And given that the Health Minister, Khairi Jamaluddin, has said that Sinovac recipients who do not get their booster dose will not be, will still be able to dine in. So those who lose their fully vaccinated status can still dine in, can still enter shopping malls and workplaces and places of worship. Does this essentially remove the incentive to actually get a booster shot? I mean, how is the government essentially kind of giving up on these people who don't want to get booster shots?
Well, I think I've said it just a couple of times over these past few days. There's a big difference in essentially deriving policy based on evidence and science and deriving policy based on populist moves. So I think what's important to note here is that there's a fine line where you should not cross, especially when you try to impose new regulations and policy, which you think may be popular, but it may not necessarily be safe for people. However, having said that, you must also read between the lines of what the health minister has said, and you don't see there any sort of air travel or any sort of international border crossing. So these people will never be allowed to travel outside. So if these people would actually want to travel, they would actually need to get themselves boosted. However, the majority of the people are those 59 years old and above and also Sinovac recipients. What is worrying for me is this. When we open up our borders, when these people from outside of the countries come in, as you know how the Omicron variant came in with a South African student and all this. So when we actually let borders open with the new BA2 variant and all these other sorts of new variants that may pop up, these vulnerable groups who still have not gotten themselves boosted, these people actually may be the ones who are the most vulnerable to actually getting sick. So is our policy of allowing these people to congregate, to meet, to actually get together just because we think it's the popular thing to do, actually the wisest and safest thing for these people?
So related to that, what's your assessment on the level of enforcement when it comes to vaccination status then?
Well, I think it's little to none. I mean, I'm just going to be very bluntly honest here. I don't think anyone has ever been checked off of their vaccination status up until today. I mean, yes, we do flash our Maestro Jatra when we're walking into the malls and all these things. We've heard some social media posts where people are refused, and this was very early on. But I think the question now is, where are the health authorities? Are they going to the ground asking people, do we have fully vaccinated status? But the bigger question is, do these people have the authority to even stop and ask these people to actually prove their vaccination status? So I think a lot of this comes under the issue of how much enforcement we actually want to do and what kind of enforcement we want. But ultimately, we have to also understand what is the objective of the enforcement. If you do find somebody who is not fully vaccinated, what are you going to do? I mean, are you going to tell them you are supposed to leave? Are you going to fine them? Are you going to put them to jail? So I think we need to be really clear on this. What is the direction and what is the purpose that we're trying to achieve when we're doing it?
Okay. Very quickly, could you tell us how and where Sinovac vaccine recipients can receive their booster jabs, and are appointments required, and how difficult it is to get the jabs?
Well, I think it's extremely easy for you to get your booster doses. I think the Ministry of Health and also Protect Health has made it extremely simple. There's a list that you can find on their website where you can find all the lists of participating clinics and private GPs that you can just walk into. You just give them a call, tell them that you want to come in for your booster doses, and you should get them. And I think people should take up this initiative and get boosted. The government has been giving this thing for free. They've actually utilized this, and I think we should actually do our part.
Dr. Farhan, thanks very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Associate Professor Dr. Farhan Rusli, Public Health Medicine Specialist and Director of the Selangor Task Force COVID-19 Operation, giving us what we need to know as we enter into the transition phase towards endemicity tomorrow. Also highlighting a lot of things that we actually don't know, a lot of things that are still unclear, especially after Health Minister Khairi Jamaluddin yesterday said that certain groups that have not received their booster dose will not be barred from dining out or going to public places. What does that mean for the vaccination program moving forward?
Yeah, I think the issue is really the efficacy of the vaccines, the virality of the virus. It's about how life will be affected going forward. I think the trend in recent times, and this is the data that suggests, the science that suggests it, right? Because as viruses get older and as they get more mature, they lose strength. And that's why I think Omicron is less damaging than before in the early stages of it. And so we have to ask ourselves, right, what happens from here on in? Do we still need to take booster shots on an annual basis? And that will play into people's fears. I think it's more about the future than about the present.
Well, there's also the risk of a new variant, which is the BA2.
Correct.
So we don't know whether that would spread very fast, like how it did for the first Omicron wave.
I think the science tells us that booster jabs work. So if you haven't gotten your booster jab yet, please consider doing so. It's easy to get your booster jab just to give yourself that extra protection. Because as you said, Chuang, we don't know how this virus is going to evolve. It could get weaker. It could get stronger. We really don't know. But what we do know is that booster jabs can help to limit infections, make it less severe. I certainly attest to that in my case. In any case, tomorrow there will be a number of changes. I think we'll start to see operating hours for eateries. They're no longer restricted. So, hey, it's the return of the 24-hour Mamat maybe, or the 24-hour McDonald's. There will be those who see their vaccination statuses change. But some things will remain the same. Masking is still required. Please keep your hand hygiene. You know, please continue screening where you need to.
I want to offer a cautionary remark here. And this is only partly facetious because tomorrow is quite instrumental from a public perspective, right? SOPs wise. But it's also the 1st of April. So I'm not kidding, right? So I don't know who's going to deploy and make, you know, take advantage of the day to offer something which may or may not be based on facts.
Oh, well,
I'm just saying.
We'll help you start the day tomorrow on the right note for sure. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.